95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer. I'm in the big chair once again in WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner for the boys' basketball season. Coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports. And we will continue to do that as we look ahead to another week of the high school basketball season with our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. It was a full week of basketball for most of the city teams. St. Phil got in an extra game on Monday as a makeup and beat Maple Valley 75-36. In action on Tuesday in the game of the week, Penfield came from behind and edged Harper Creek in the final seconds and won that game 56-55. Lakeview lost to Schoolcraft 67-47, and St. Phil defeated Jackson Christian 54-42. On Thursday, Harper Creek went down to Coldwater and beat first place Coldwater Cardinals as the Beavers climbed back into first place in the league with a week left in the season. Last night in our game of the night, St. Phil rolled past Athens as the Tigers clinched a share of the division championship for the first time in more than a decade. Lakeview lost to Loy Norix on a night where Spartan senior LeBron Campbell scored his 1,000th career point. And Battle Creek Central had its game against Stevensville Lakeshore postponed. Penfield was off last night, but will be in action this afternoon at home against Plainwell. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this break on Coach's Corner on 95.3 FM WBCK.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner with our first coach of the morning, Coach Bowling of the Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Bill. Good to see you.
We often ask people, hey, I got some news for you. Do you want the good news or the bad news? And I always like to hear the bad news first. And Harbor Creek had a little bit of both this week, so we'll talk about the bad news first. Harbor Creek had a big game on Tuesday against rival Penfield at Penfield. They came up a little bit short and lost 56-55 on a game-winning shot in the final seconds there. Harper Creek, a little bit frustrating for Beaver fans probably, is that the Harper Creek seemed to have that game in control most of the time, and then Penfield made a late surge, which you were going to guess that they probably would in a game of such magnitude. But you came into that game in first place, and you were hoping to hold on to your spot, and then came up a little bit short. Talk about how that game kind of went. You guys had a great first half. You had 9 triples in the first half, and things were rolling there in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, we did all right. We were, made some shots. Things were kind of headed in our way for the most part. Couple hiccups there, but, I felt pretty good after the first half, and I didn't think necessarily even played our best half of basketball. We just talked about keep going out and keep the ball moving and executing. We just had a tough second half.
It came out, and you still kind of had an okay third quarter, up 10 points most of that third quarter. And then Penfield kind of got hot in the fourth quarter. They went inside a little bit more and just slowly came back. It was almost like I didn't realize they were all the way back until the final minute, and then they just kind of snuck up on you a little bit. That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, and even then, we had some nice plays. We answered most of their sets with buckets of our own. We just didn't, get that final stop. But when we made them play in space, we left some points out on the board when we made them spread out defensively. And we left some bunnies out there. So, make some of those and make them play in space a little bit better. Take care of the ball a little bit better in those situations, then, I feel like the outcome might have been a little different. But credit to them for staying with it and battling through by being down. And, we'll give them some credit for that.
And what was interesting about that game is that you had a one-point lead, like a minute minute left in the game at 101 left in the game, and a timeout was called. And then when they came back in, you guys were in your zone, and Penfield decided to just sit back and not go into any play there and to stand there themselves. It was a little bit of a standoff for about 40 seconds, and then they called timeout with 18 seconds left. Looked like they were going to go for the last shot right there, and they, I guess the thinking was they didn't want to go back and forth with you guys and figured they could keep scoring back and forth with you guys in the last minute. So they wanted to go down, take the last shot, and take their chances.
Yeah, I mean, and if we were to have that over again, we'd do some things a little different. And we had a blown coverage there at the last little bit of that, too. After rewatching that, we blew coverage. And if we played assignment basketball, a little different there, maybe we would have gone out. And like I said, we might have done a couple things a little different on my end after going through that and second-guessing, you know, who we are as a team and what we do best. You know, might do things a little different next time.
Then it came down to the last shot. Johnny Lake for Penfield had a big fourth quarter there. He's their big body on the inside and can get hot in the post a little bit. And they threw the ball into him, and he made a real tough shot there. And they took the lead with the second left and came away with a win. But the nice thing about that was that you had a game to play with going into that game, and then so all the things that you wanted to do for the season were still in front of you after that game. Was that something to kind of hold your head up after that game, make sure the kids didn't get too down?
Well, it was frustrating in the moment, that's for sure, and that one hurt in the moment. But, you know, I called it like a sleepless week. You know, I didn't sleep at all after that game, and then I didn't sleep at all again Thursday for two totally different reasons. But if we had to pick a game to win this week, it was definitely the second game. It was a must win. Either way, you know, it would have been a must win if we lost. It would have been a must win if we would have won. So either way, if we had to pick one game to win this week, that was the one on Thursday was the one we had to have.
And that's the good news of this thing. We were talking about the bad news and the good news. And yeah. The good news is that Harbor Creek came back and went down to Coldwater on a snowy night on Thursday. And Coldwater was in first place at the time. And Harbor Creek came away with a grinded out 47-45 win. And that puts you back in the first place after only being out for a couple of days. And that also created a log jam on the top of the conference there. You were tied for first place at the time. Several teams also with three losses in the loss column, so in virtual tie for first place there. But a big win for Harbor Creek, a monster win for the Beavers when they had to have it on a Thursday night against the first place team. That had to feel real good, right?
Oh, it did feel real good. And then to win, like I said, to win a different way and to you know, our pressure was pretty decent. We forced them into a handful of turnovers. Didn't necessarily speed them up as much as we wished, but you know, especially early, they took it to us on the offensive glass. But we adjusted and did a better job of that. But to play more of a half court controlled game, we only made two threes. You know, but we didn't shoot that many either, so we were going to the basket a little bit more. Things where we played a little different offensively. That wasn't necessarily by design. It was just by how the game was played. And we found a way to win, and we did it with our defense and some two-point shots. And, you know, there were some tough – it was a tough physical game. I heard a couple guys on the way out. Spencer said yesterday it was one of the more physical games he's ever played in. And that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it's going to be. So it was a good, to me, like Thursday and Tuesday were good – lead-ups to what's coming, too. I mean, it's probably going to be a little bit of a slowdown like that on Friday, a little bit with a league matchup. I'm sure they'll want to slow us down. And that'll be great for how sometimes district basketball games played. The whistles kind of go to the wayside, and you just kind of have to roll up your sleeves, and you got to battle. And it set us up for, you know, we've already played two or three district ball games.
Right.
So those situations of the pressure, the must-win, every possession matters. That's been a good prelude for what's coming and sets us up for what's coming on Friday as well.
Yeah, you had 11 triples in that game over Penfield, and like you mentioned, only two against Coldwater. And the way you kind of match up with Coldwater, neither of these teams, Coldwater and Harbor Creek, are very big, but they're both real feisty and athletic and want to get after you on defense, and that matchup seems to
yeah,
create that situation, I imagine.
Yeah, my hat's off to Coldwater with how that, to me, was probably one of the better defensive teams we've played all year and one of the best defensive games and how people have defended us. I thought they did a very nice job, and hats off to them for that. And you know, that's what, you know, styles make fights. So it was a good fight.
And what that sets up is that you have one conference game left on the standings. You're a little bit ahead of everybody in terms of that. And some of the other schools have two left in the race there. You have Jackson Northwest next Friday. Jackson Northwest is only, as of going into last night, was only 1-7 in the conference. You had beaten them already early in the year. And you have a big week. You have a Valkyrie Central game on Tuesday, but the biggest game is that Friday game against Jackson Northwest. Mm-hmm. When all things are in front of you in terms of winning a conference title for the first time in a couple of years, and with this group that you had coming back this year, a lot of experience, a lot of seniors on this team that are playing a lot of minutes, this is the kind of week you wanted. You wanted a final week with something to play for.
Absolutely. Big week, something to play for. We play Monday at Gull Lake, Tuesday's home senior night with Battle Creek Central, like I said, and then big game Friday night on the road at Northwest. So,
yeah, huge week for you guys in terms of all that. And and then district pairings came out. They come out Sunday night, I think, is that how that works?
Yeah, that'll give everybody a chance to have Saturday games to get their games in today, and then it'll be done like that. So those will all be posted. I anticipate probably playing Penfield again on a Wednesday night. I don't know if I anticipated, like I said, that. Don't know if it'll be game one or game two, but that's kind of what I foresee coming.
So it's almost tournament time all the time right now for everybody. It feels like you guys are playing tournament games already, a do-or-die situation when you want to win or things don't go right for you. So the big win over Coldwater is huge, and the fact that you guys kind of got it done a different way, like you said. Davion Roy had 10 points for you, Spencer Denny had 9. Balanced scoring once again for you guys, and really good defense holding them down. Nico Downs had 15 points for Coldwater. Jackson Riley had 10 points and 8 rebounds for them. Aiden Dreischel had 7 points and 12 rebounds for them. And that matchup sets up, like you said, the Jackson Northwest. What does Jackson Northwest do, and what did you see the first time against them that kind of has you thinking about them?
Well, Northwest, what we got to be prepared for, they have a very athletic guard wing player. You know, he's kind of like a point forward. Zero, we have to keep him in check. He does a very nice job. They'll run a 5-out, 4-out. They'll run dribble drive offense. Very similar of what a lot of things that we've seen this year. But he's kind of their go-to guy. They got a big kid in the middle too, the Cooper kid, whose brother plays at State. And you know, they've played some 1-3-1 and they played some man. So the big thing for us with that game is we got to establish our ball pressure, our tempo, and get them playing faster. And as long as we get tempo, they don't necessarily want to play as fast as we do. And if we can do that and get them going up and down and taking a lot of shots that are quick, so they're not necessarily playing inside out, then I think that advantage will play to us. So that is what we're going to have to discuss and work on heading into that game. And they'll probably want to slow it down a little bit more, try to keep it as long close, and try to hang around and muck the game up as much as they can, which is, you know, a thing that most coaches would do. So that's what I anticipate them trying to do with us on Friday.
In a three-game week, like you mentioned, Gull Lake, Valkyrie Central, and Jackson Northwest, that's not such a bad thing going into the districts. So sometimes there are three games in a week in districts, and playing a lot of basketball all at once at this time of year kind of gets you ready for that situation. How do you kind of prepare for a three-game week?
Well, we're going to go in. We're going to practice tomorrow. Hope we get the roads cleared like we talked about earlier, about 5 o'clock practice and do a little film. And we have a lot of depth, so we're going to use a lot of depth Monday and Tuesday. And, got film on both the teams that we're going to see. I think there's a lot of similarities in what we've done to this point and what we're going to see already. So we'll probably have a little walkthrough Tuesday after school as well, and maybe a quick film session. I don't know. We'll see what more film I watch on the weekend. But we're going to just focus one game at a time and look at Gull Lake Sunday and get prepared for that. I know they have one guy who's pretty decent and can score the ball. So I'm sure, you know, he'll be our focus heading into that game. Yeah. And, you know, we like to speed up and get going and try to hopefully get that up and up tempo, fast paced game, and get them running up and down with us. So that's kind of what we're looking at for Monday. And I'll look at Tuesday when we get to Monday night, about 10, 11 o'clock.
All right. Well, we'll talk about a big week for Harper Creek next week when we get back together. The first place Harper Creek Beavers as we stand now. And next week, we'll also talk a little bit about how districts coming up the following week as district pairings come out. So that'll be fun to talk about next week as we get back together at Coach's Corner. Thanks for coming down, Coach.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning here. We're here with Coach Steve Wickman of Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing today?
Real good.
Good.
Lakeview had a couple games to get in this week as we head towards the final week of the regular season next week. Early in the week, you were playing without your leading scorer, LeBron Campbell, and that showed a little bit against a really tough Schoolcraft team. You fell short and lost 67-47. And other guys stepped up and had big games. Braden McGill had 22 points, 11 rebounds. Spencer Shotwell had 16 points and four triples. But when you take about 20 points out of your lineup, sometimes that's a little tough against a team that's a really good program like Schoolcraft.
Yeah, obviously you're going to miss a player that averages 24 points a game. But I was really proud of our other guys who did step up. I thought Spencer played one of his better games of the season. And Braden has just kind of been a double-double machine lately. He's really got that senior urgency going. He's really understanding that time is dwindling for him in high school basketball, and he's really, really been playing well, playing very, very hard, and kind of just being the big, big dominant force in the middle that we always thought he could be.
How'd that game kind of go? They jump on you early, and you guys had to kind of react to that, or was it more of a third quarter thing?
Yeah, it was actually the game. I think we were down four going into the fourth quarter. It was a close game, and I think the whole game was back and forth, and then a couple things got away from us in the fourth, and we just kind of ran out of gas, I guess, for lack of a better term, and you can make up for some points, but you can't make up for all 24 of those points that are missing. And, again, our kids fought real hard, and I thought we played pretty well for about three quarters, or, you know, what would it be, 5/8 of a game, whatever. So, you know, I mean, just not able to kind of finish it, I guess. And I got to give Schoolcraft's really good. I mean, their point guard is about 6'2", 6'3", and handles the ball real well, and is very heady player. And they're very good defensively, and so they get some credit for that low score as well.
And you had a game on Wednesday postponed, and then you came back last night, a fun night at home against Loy Norix team. Senior night, and a big crowd, and a chance for your senior LeBron Campbell to be honored. He only needed 2 points to get to a career 1,000 points, and something you and I have been talking about all week, and something he's been thinking about all week. Needed just those 2 points because he's coming off injury. He didn't play earlier in the week, but he's going to get those 2 points and get that 1,000 points, and you fell short against Loy Norix, but talk about the bigger picture. Big story here is LeBron had those career milestone, and that doesn't happen a lot around Lakeview, and it was nice to see. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a well-deserved honor. It took us a couple minutes, but he scored the first bucket of the game, and so we stopped the game and presented him with a 1,000-point ball, and he got to go over and hug mom and grandpa and grandma and all that good stuff and take pictures for a second. And Very gracious of Norix to, you know, to let us do that and deal with that. You know, I would like to think we'd do the same thing, you know, for them. But it, big milestone. I think, what did I figure out? There's been 7,000 point scorers in the history of Lakeview basketball. So to be in that, that's a pretty elite group, right? And the last one was Tommy Moore. 5 years ago, I think, was his senior year, somewhere around there. So, you know, in the last one before that was Devin Klein, which was probably 20 years ago or so. Right, you know, right. So it is. It's unique. It's very. It says a lot about a person that, you know, did something well for that amount of time. You know, I mean, when you think about 3 years. And scoring over 300 points a year on average to get to your 1,000, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we profiled LeBron today in the Inquirer, or last online in the Inquirer today, talking about those 1,000 points, and we talked to LeBron about that and how rare it is here at Lakeview. You go back to, we talk about Lakeview goes back 70 years and Styx Bolton played in the 50s and only to have seven players over 70 years to get 1,000 points, and only three guys under your tutelage in less than 20-some years. And for that to happen there is huge. And like you mentioned, he's seventh on the list. He is just a point behind Ken Bailey now, who has 1,007, who played in the late 60s, early 70s. And then next on the list will be Tommy Moore, like you mentioned. He had 1,025, so LeBron can probably catch him in the next week if you guys keep playing well and he can get on the floor. And Devin Klein, you said from 2004 to 2006, he also had those 1,000 points. And that list has a lot of nice names to look at it. And LeBron talked about how it's kind of crazy to him to wrap his head around that he's part of that group that after that's been playing basketball for so long. And you and I mentioned that It's tougher at some schools than others to get 1,000 points, and playing Class A, Class B basketball, that points are a little bit harder to come by, and 1,000 points at Lakeview is something special, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think in reality for LeBron, I think it's a big relief. I think he's been bombarded with as much as a high school kid can be bombarded by. His classmates and people in the community and things like that talking to him about 1,000 points and when are you going to get it? Are you going to play? Are you going to, you know? And I think one thing that I saw from him last night, you know, when the team came out on the floor and mobbed him is just kind of a, you know, kind of a sense of relief. And very, very happy for him and his family. And now we just need to get him healthy and get ourselves back into you know, we got to get into tournament mode here, right? We got two games this week coming up, and then we're in the tournament. So, you know, we talked last night after the game about just what kind of mark do you want to leave on the history of the program, right? And I think these guys are hungry. I think we have enough kids from last year that, you know, we were in the locker room last night. Some of the seniors were talking about how much fun they had last year. In that district run and trying to pass that on to the younger guys and let them understand, like, this is, you guys are going to love this if we do this. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're talking that way. We're thinking that way. And we'll see how talking and thinking play out for us, right?
That'll be a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun last year. You guys were putting together quite a run last year. You won the division and you won the district, and you get to host the district this year.
Correct.
Correct. And it's a wide-open district. There's no super teams in there. A lot of teams in that district can get hot at the right time and get going. And like you said, maybe health might be the biggest thing overall that could decide some of that. LeBron was sick early in the week and also had a little bit of trouble with his foot. And maybe wasn't 100% last night and only ended up with 8 points. And was that a little bit of a situation last night for him also last night?
Yeah, we didn't play him a ton last night. I think he ended up with like 18 minutes or something like that. So, I mean, that's probably more than I would have liked to have played him. But the game was the game was close the entire way until, again, kind of the same story as Tuesday, kind of until the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, kind of it got away from us. But yeah, we're monitoring that and making sure, you know, and we had Jackson Hardy had missed a couple days of practice with being ill as well. So he was under the weather last night still a little bit. And we need to get everybody stay home, lay in bed, get healthy, and get ourselves ready for a game Tuesday and a game Friday and then roll into districts. And I think if we do that, if we can get everybody back and healthy, I think we have a good shot.
Yeah, you lost 65-48 to Lloyd Norris last night. And like you said, the game kind of spread out at the very end. Braden McGill had another double-double, like you talked about, 12 points, 11 rebounds. And then that sets up next week, the final week of the regular season. And that also sets up a next Friday game against city rival Battle Creek Central, a game that everyone kind of looks forward to that time. And then it's a situation where you could play them on Friday, and then you might turn right back around and play them in districts again the following week, depending on how things fall. And So it's a big weekend going that way, and getting everyone ready for the final week of the regular season. What do you want to kind of get ready in that final week of the regular season? Like you said, beyond getting healthy and getting ready.
There's nothing beyond getting healthy, really. No, I think, just making sure we understand what our identity is. Yeah. I think we're pretty good with that at this point. We know we need to defend very well. We know we need to rebound very well, and that allows us to get out and run. And so, excuse me, those are the three things that we talk about daily, defend, rebound, and run. And if we can make sure we're sticking to our identity with that and make sure we're, as we get healthier, get ourselves back into, there should be a sense of urgency at this point in the year, right? And because it can all come to an end really quickly, if you're not urgent and you're not prepared. And we talked a little bit last night. I fully believe at this time of the year there's kind of like two types of high school teams. There's the teams that are like, boy, it's been a long year, let's just get this over with, right? And there's teams that are, hungry still and want to make a mark on the program and for themselves. And I believe we're the latter of the two. The way we talked about this last night, and our kids were very responsive, and they're, they're excited about moving forward, which gives me a lot of hope. Because if they're not, we're that other team.
That's right.
That's just like, when do we turn our uniforms
in? Yeah, we don't want to worry about baseball season quite yet.
Correct. So,
all right. We'll look forward to that. Another big week for Lakeview next week when we get back together, and we'll talk a little bit more about district pairings as we do that next week when we get back together. Thanks a lot, Coach, for coming on down.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
All right, we're here with Coach Robbie Hatton of the Penfield Panthers. Penfield has an early afternoon game on Saturday, so we are talking to Coach Friday afternoon after practice about his week and the week ahead. How's it going, Coach?
Very good, Bill. Thank you.
We will talk about the big game this week, the big game, the state rivalry game that changed a lot of things for a couple teams when you played Harper Creek on Tuesday. That game kind of went down to the wire, and it was a nice game all the way throughout. But first, talking about the game and the results to begin with, the win was huge. You needed that win. It was a must-win for you guys to get yourself back in the race, and now you're in the race, and now you have something to play for the final week of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking all year, just give ourselves a shot, take it a game at a time, this is definitely one of those games that was back and forth. We felt like we were up and we were down, and then we kind of went in a lull where they hit a couple big shots. We told our team not to panic, really just keep doing what we're supposed to do, even with, all the moms in the crowd and the fans yelling, watch the shooter. And, hey, listen, we knew what our game plan was, and we didn't want to give them the easy two, make them beat us from the outside. And first half, they got hot. They were really shooting the ball well. And second half, they kind of lessened up a little bit, and our gap defense was very, very solid. So it was good to make sure our kids were doing what they were supposed to do, you know, and sticking to the game plan. So that was nice to see. And then obviously, you know, like we said, it was a must win. You know, if we had a chance to have a shot at the league title, we had to beat Harper. It was point blank. That's what had to happen. So, but again, the job's not done yet. We still have two league games we got to take care of. But it is nice, kind of knowing that we kind of control our own destiny. Because if we win out, we get a share, no matter what any other team does. And that's what we wanted, is put it in our hands.
Right.
Don't put it in anybody else's hands. Let's not pray for another loss from another team. And you know, obviously, you know, there's still a lot of basketball to be played for every team left that's in the sun. So, you know, we're going to take it a day at a time. You know, we got Plainwell tomorrow, which is a non-league game, so we're going to kind of honor our seniors a little bit, let them start that game instead of the senior night game. But no, it's going to be a good time. You know, I'm really excited for this week of basketball. You know, yeah. Our kids they've worked really hard to get here.
That Harbor Creek game, that first half, they had 9 triples in the first half, and like you said, they were getting hot, and it was still an up and down game. You guys were hitting your share of shots too, a lot of threes also, but they just hit more of them and got that double digit lead. What was the discussion at halftime? I think you talked a little bit about that. You just wanted to stick to your game plan, but were the kids any worried about that hot start at all?
Or? Not at all. You know, I told the kids all season long, listen, it's high school basketball. You're going to get in spurts where you feel like you can't miss, and there's times that you're going to come back down to earth. And we just got to keep doing our game plan, stick to our game plan. The first time we played them, second half, we let up our gaps and went out and started guarding the three, and they were just, I mean, driving for two every time. And, you know, we weren't protecting the rim. You know, I'm a firm believer is the ones by the rim are a lot easier to make than the ones further away. So let's make them shoot the ones further away. And if we get beat that way, we get beat that way. You know, it's sometimes that happens. You know, there's winners and losers in every game. And, you know, and if they're going to beat us from the outside and, you know, shoot 50% from three, hey, sometimes you got to tip your cap, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we did. We stayed the course and shut down the gaps. And, you know, our kids just kept doing the game plan.
And then you guys, slow and steady, in the second half came back, and then a big fourth quarter. You went inside to Johnny Lake. It's like Johnny said to me after the game, kind of pick your poison. And you guys have the situation a lot of times with Calvin Pazins can hurt you from the outside, a couple other guys can hurt you from the outside, or you can cover the inside. And Johnny Lake got off in the fourth quarter and got hot, 11 points. And then that brought you all the way back in the game. So talk about that decision to go there and then how that kind of rolled out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think we have a very dynamic team where we got 4 guys that can really score. You know, if you're going to try to double Johnny, we go to Calvin. Well, if you're going to double Johnny and put a face guard on Calvin, Zach Walling's probably one of the better shooters in the state.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of had a slower year at times, but he's starting to heat up at the right time for us. You look at his last 6-7 games, I mean, he's hitting 3 or 4 threes every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very great shooter and a great scorer. Brevin Bailey can still light it up. You know, Brevin's gotten a lot of the tough matchups from other teams because, you know, last year Brevin was averaging 15-20 a game, and so he still gets a tough matchup from these guys. And Brev's role has really expanded to being more of that guy that just fills the stat sheet. You know, he's going to make some great plays, give you assists, and, you know, get the rebounds and score if he needs to. But, you know, we're very dynamic in that aspect, and I think we have 4 kids that can really light it up if we need them to. So that decision to go inside, if you look at the third quarter, we were going inside and they started kind of doubling down, and Johnny was kicking over to Zach, and Zach hit 3 big threes in the third quarter, and then they kind of started taking the double team off, so then Johnny was able to go to work. You know, and I think that's what makes us a tough matchup for just about anybody is, you know, we can score in a bunch of different ways, and you know, we just got to make sure that we're going inside out, not outside in.
Then with a minute left, Harbor Creek takes a 1-point lead. There's a timeout called, and you go back on the floor, and then you let the clock run about 45 seconds and to get it down to 18 seconds or so.
Yep.
Not everyone will do that. That's a tough decision to try to say, okay, we're going to go for the last shot with a minute left still.
Yep.
What was your thinking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that originally was not my intention. We bringing it up, and I saw Coach Bowling sticking in the 2-3 zone, packing it in, and I said, I don't want to get multiple possessions here.
Right.
Listen, we're down 1. I personally feel like we have one of the top scorers in the area. or top two scorers, you know, let's call a timeout, give us last possession. And I saw, I knew they had two top fouls to give. So we called timeout. We talked through the scenario, told our kids, this is what's going to happen. You're going to inbound. Wait a second. They're going to foul you. Don't panic. They're going to do that twice. And then after that, then we're going to go to work. We drew up our play. And I liked what I saw.
Yeah. So Johnny Lake gets the ball in the post, and he said it could have gone outside or inside of the inside to him or outside to Calvin or Revan, and yep, it just ended up being a high post to low post situation, and it was real nice. He still was covered there, but he made a tough shot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our play was to go top side, just to get their zone moving and then feed the high post because that's how it's been open. And I told Revan the whole time, I said, Brev, I think it's Cotton. Yep. So I said, if he comes up, that ball's going to be wide open to Johnny. If he sits down, you got to make the tough shot. And he came up. We knew we had Johnny on Bess, and I like that matchup with a high ball.
Right.
So we threw it up to Johnny, and hopefully our athlete would make a play, and he did. He came down and made the basket, and you know, I was so happy with how we executed that whole last minute. I was, you know, I was sicker than a dog Tuesday. You know, I had influenza, and I went back yesterday still not feeling the best. And I was watching that last minute, and I was like, just so proud of how we executed that last minute. You know, we work on those situations frequently, and it was nice to see our kids not panic and knew exactly what we were going to do. And to be honest, I told them, I said, I'm pretty sure they're going to send a trap at us right away when we would inbound after they used their fouls. And they didn't, and that's why we said go top side, just to get that trap off.
Sure.
But they didn't trap. They played in their standard 2-3 zone, and kind of saw, I mean, it was nice just to see what the kids did in that situation.
So then that put you in a great position. You guys were able to be only a game back, and then Harbor Creek did you a little favor last night, beat Coldwater, and that tightened things up now. Everyone's tied at the top, Coldwater, Penfield, Harbor Creek. Going into next week, and you have two Interstate 8 conference games next week, and like you said, destiny's in your own hands, so that's a good feeling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the rest of our schedule, neither of those teams have a chance to win the league title, so, you know, our destiny is in our hands.
Yeah.
So if we can win Hastings and Parma, we have a shot. You know, we'll have a share of the title at least. And obviously, there's a lot of basketball to be played. You know, Coldwater's got two tough matchups. Marshall's got two tough matchups. Harper's got Jackson Northwest, who, I mean, on a good night, they can beat just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, we have Hastings and Parma, who are both two very good basketball teams. So the race isn't over, man. This next week could be pretty fun. It's definitely going to be a three-way tie at the top, and I'm excited to see how it shakes out.
And well, hopefully we'll have fun talking about that the following week, and we'll do that as we head into district play after that, because that'll be the last weekend of the regular season. So thanks a lot for talking, Coach, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, bye.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. Coach Durant Crum couldn't join us this morning. Valkyrie Central had both its games postponed this week, and they'll be back in action next week. Like we said, playing Lakeview on Friday. And we'll talk to Coach Crum next week about districts as we come forward and finish up the season with that. Now we'll be back with our last Coach of the Morning here after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here in Coach's Corner. We're here with Coach Kimber of the Sandfield Fighting Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, we had a fun week for St. Phil this week. You got earlier in the week, you played Maple Valley on Monday, and then you played Jackson Christian on Tuesday, and that momentum got you to last night, where you had a big game against Athens, and with a lot on the line for you, not in terms of the opponent necessarily, but in terms of what was possible with the win. Well, you got the victory last night, and that enabled you to clinch a share of the league, of the division title there, and that's something that's been, you've been looking forward to for more than 10 years, and to finally get it done, clinch that share, still with something to play for next week. How exciting was that for the boys?
Very exciting, very exciting. You know, it's something we've talked about for a while now, and we've envisioned for a while, you know, bringing up guys like Colt ever since eighth grade, and to piggyback on Colt, you know, the juniors, the triplets, having them up there ever since they were in eighth grade, ninth grade, you know, it's something we've envisioned since then. And so finally being able to achieve that was, you know, pretty special. You know, obviously we want it to be outright, but we have Friday to go to do that, and we're going to be locked in on that one.
The whole idea behind that is that you took your lumps early with those young guys when they were in eighth grade and ninth grade, and but you knew at that time, with the kind of talent you had coming up, you thought that this was possible one day, and when it was going to come, you weren't quite sure. Maybe you're a little bit ahead of schedule last year because you guys had a real nice year and didn't quite get it done against Bellevue. But when you got it done this year, got that win against Bellevue and split with Bellevue and gave yourselves a chance, this was going to be the year, and you want it to be the year with that senior class and with the juniors that you have on the team. And getting that victory, this was kind of circled on your calendar for about 3-4 years.
So. Yeah, you know, we obviously had last year circled as well, but unfortunately we couldn't get it done. But yeah, we really felt like this, if we're going to make a run, this is going to be our year. And so just kind of starting to stack goals getting achieved towards the end of the year is awesome. And, you know, I think everybody's getting the confidence and hopefully getting the momentum rolling towards us going into the postseason.
And it was a nice time last night. You won 76-23, a senior night at St. Phil, and you had your three seniors. Got to say goodbye to them in a nice way, and to make that happen. That's a great atmosphere for the seniors to go out, and you got to tip your hat to those guys who have been with the program for a long time, right?
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, we had Hall of Fame night as well. We had Coach Manier and Lena Oliver being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and then you know, so we had a good crowd, and so getting to send those seniors off in that fashion, you know, obviously, it wasn't much of a close game, but having that big crowd there was great. You know, it was a great send off for Christian, Sawyer, and Colt, and so you know, just kind of rolled that momentum. And I mean, I told them it's their last true home game because we do host districts, and so we do still get to play in the Den again. But it was a great send off for them.
And like you mentioned, the job is not done. You want to win this thing outright. You made the joke last night that you have a lot of siblings on the team, and no one wants to share with your brother. But so you don't want to share this league title. So if you win next week, you play Burr Oak next Friday, and you beat them, then you win the title outright. That's important for these guys, right?
Very important. You know, we haven't won a district title since that 2013-2014 that made the quarterfinals and lost to Lenawee. And so, you know, we're hoping to piggyback them all the way to the quarters and hopefully not do what they did. But but yeah, you know, rolling this momentum into there, and you know, yeah, we're just trying to take it all the way as much as we can.
That Burr Oak game, it becomes real important for you next week. Talk about what you guys did with them the first time around and what kind of game that might be.
Yeah, you know, I kind of talked to everybody around our circle and just say, you know, they're a little bit shorter than us, and I feel like that helps us big time. We didn't have, the first time around, I think we ended up winning with 20, but we didn't have the greatest offensive outing, so, you know, just getting the offensive rolling early and then staying strong on defense and on boards.
It'll be a lot of fun to talk about. St. Phil already has a share of the Southern and Central Athletic Association West Division title as of now. And if they can take care of business next week against Burr Oak, they will win it outright. So we'll talk about that next week as we get back together with Coach. Thanks a lot, Coach, for coming on down. That's it for Coach's Corner for this week. We'll be back with our final regular season Coach's Corner next Saturday when we get back together here on WBCK 95.3 FM.